Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
All right, welcome back to another Roma Press Podcast. The Claudio Ranieri era 3.0, beginning with a defeat, albeit 1-0, before getting into that, of course, our newest patron over at Patreon, Homar Espino. Thank you for your support. And of course, all of our other wonderful patrons, if you would like to join, early access to the episodes, complaining during the match, having an outlet other than your partner to vent to when you are pulling your hair out, watching some of the things that were on display tonight and have been on display throughout the season, patreon.com/RomaPress at IS Roma Press, social media, YouTube. You know where to find us by now. All right. Okay. How you accept it tonight, Andy, is entirely contingent upon if your expectations were realistic or not. Now, beyond that, if you did not understand that if there were ever to be a match where the Pordenone was going to play a factor, it was this one without exception, without question. You look at the other side. It is filled with possibilities of the Pordenone, Politano, Spinazzola, Juan Jesus, and obviously Romelu Lukaku scores the only goal. So that shouldn't have surprised anybody even slightly. But there are some things that we take away from tonight. If we want to look on the positives, let's start with the positives. This season has only been crap. So even though it was the sixth loss of the league campaign, don't look at the table, by the way. Don't do it.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Don't do it.
It's fine. It's fine. It could be, it could be worse. We could be in the relegation zone. We're still not there, folks. So tune in because we're still not there. But sky's the limit with Roma, especially if you look at who they're facing next, considering that Atalanta together with Napoli. Together with Napoli, they're the most informed team in the league, but fine. Okay, let's look at the positive. Honestly, I do think that, especially tonight, I do expect that everyone had seen this coming. Like, I don't think after such a devastating start to the season, I don't think you could have gone into this international break. And even with Claudio Ranieri's positive vibes, could have hoped for a result tonight at the Diego Maradona, maybe a draw, if anything, which would have been a miracle. I just didn't.
It would have.
You know, you went into a really difficult setting without your fans in the home of the team that is leading the Serie A table, a team that has been thriving, a team that has been playing once a week, a team that feels in form. A team that has been in shape, that wasn't missing anyone. There were some questions as to whether Lukaku or Scott McTominay could be available. They were available. So now you were facing Napoli at their best, and you were coming off a terrible stretch, a change of manager, and so on and so forth, the lack of confidence that we spoke about. So all I think we wanted to see is not the kind of debacle that we saw in Florence. I really do think that tonight was the case of, can we try to leave that stadium with dignity? I do think Roma leave with dignity. The result is disappointing as always because, you know, six losses is always painful. Seeing Roma be so close to the relegation zone is painful. See these guys still struggle with some very basics is painful. Seeing Dovbyk hit the crossbar is painful, whereas you see Lukaku celebrate in your face. But to start off on the positives, after this long list of painful elements that constituted the match, you know, you do have this sense of that if there is a guy that you want in your corner in this moment, it is Ranieri. Nobody said it was going to be easy. So nobody thought that this was going to be a cakewalk because Roma would have an immediate reaction following Ranieri's appointment. No. But what we saw is a team that was still fighting, a team that lost with dignity, as unpleasant as the idea of losing is, they lost with dignity. Artem Dovbyk hits the crossbar. I see plenty of chances for someone like Hummels, finally gets a half to play.
Playing in the exact spot we discussed ad nauseum, yeah? The one, yes, that Ivan Juric said he
refused.
He doesn't see him in that.
Oh. Yeah, and I do think a lot of people will start, you know, will blame him for the goal, although I do really think that in that situation, it's a lose-lose situation for both him and Zviar. Both were risking of hurting themselves. Had Hummels stuck his leg out, he would have hit Zviar square in the face. You don't want that. So Manu Kone was excellent. I thought nice to see Dal get his second performance in for Roma. That's exciting. So we see positive elements within a performance that saw Roma still suffer, still face the kind of unlucky streak that they're on, because Dovbyk, man, talk about a really unlucky striker. Not only is he barely served by his teammates, but when he's served, he hits that damn crossbar in such a big game, in a moment that could have turned things around for Roma. So, you know, all things considered, if you were going into this match with the expectation of, I want to see this team try to keep it together for 90 minutes, I think this is the best we could have asked for at this specific moment, this in time, against this specific opponent. Because mind you, I've seen this team play far worse against the likes of Bologna, Hellas Verona, Cagliari, so Empoli. Tonight, all things considered, was not that bad, given what we've been subjected to for the last 3 months.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when comparing this to any number of matches, even within the last 2 to 3 weeks, this is incomparable. Frankly, I have to tell you, I thought from an organization standpoint, I truly felt like it was night and day. Now, that might seem as if it's hyperbole or over-exaggerated. I don't think so, though, because in that first half, I believe, and I will put the data on there in the once I do this in the post-production part, because our staff all coincidentally, again, they remain off. I believe Napoli ended the match with only either 2 or 3 shots on goal. I mean, this was a Roma that I thought you often bring up knowing the assignment. I thought tonight they knew the assignment and they carried it out to the best of their abilities. When you play an Antonio Conte team, you know what you're getting. There's no surprises. His players know their tasks. The individually, collectively, they all know what they have to do. They are facing a team in Roma.
Yeah, if he's given the time, Antonio Conte will completely seal the team in terms of organization. Yeah. He will have any team up and running. If he has the time, if he can just focus on one competition, he'll lock this place up. You know, he'll have everybody stand at attention for him.
Yes, I think you have obviously a complete contrast coming into this one, where you have a team who is in flux. You have a team with lots of uncertainty, players in new roles, versus the exact opposite in Napoli. Now, there were a number of changes that we saw tonight, and I think there were some who benefited more than others. You already brought up Manu Kone. I mean, you want to talk about somebody who we thought, this is what we thought we would get every match from him, no? I mean, a guy, an animal.
Yeah.
All over the pitch.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, holding basically the team together by himself. Yeah.
Yes, he was having a field day out there, intercepting the ball, absolutely going into duels without hesitation, winning the ball back for Roma, a complete difference maker. I mean, if this is something he can give to you, match in and match out, I mean, this is somebody that brings a dynamic that has not been at Roma for a very long time. And we are going back all the way to Inzonzi. This is sort of the player we thought Inzonzi could be, that mediano, box-to-box sort of guy who could make himself felt on the pitch. I thought Angelino once again, both in the first half and the second. He came on a bit more in the second half, but I thought he did good. Once again, proving whether.
I mean, the goal is Angelino's fault. There, if it's anyone's fault, it's Angelino's fault.
And okay, I do think it is.
And I do think the tactical change in the second half is to alleviate the defensive duties of Angelino to Fasano, because I do think Angelino, you know, as big of an improvement as he was making at the start of the season, you know, being able also to cover as that additional center back. Defensively, right now in these last few weeks, he's been quite detrimental. Hence the change at halftime of taking out Pellegrini and El Shaarawy, putting in Hummels and Baldanzi.
And I have to say, for those wide places, because I do think we are going to see some hybrid of a 4-5-1. If you have Paulo Dybala, it will go to more of a 4-4-1-1. The most obvious area of concern, if Ranieri continues to go with this 4-4-4-5, it has to be the flanks, no? I mean, you watch El Shaarawy, you watch Pizzilli, who looked not the most comfortable, particularly in the first half.
I do think it's detrimental right now to play Pizzilli in these awkward positions.
Completely
for him,
agree.
You know, just if you have someone like Sule on the bench, you have to play him. I don't care, you know, if he doesn't feel okay on the left or on the right, but Pizzilli is not the guy who you want to start experimenting with as a winger or as a trequartista. It's just because then you will risk losing a precious player. You will do the same mistake as with Zaleski, as with Felix Afenagian.
Yes, there is no need for it. I do not like him in that role. And frankly, anybody who watches or has watched Roma and has gotten to see Pizzilli, I don't think there is anybody who realistically sees him in that sort of position. However, that is obviously going to come at the expense of somebody. And I have to say, obviously, he was coming into it. He suffered a bit of a knock during the international break. Pellegrini, man, I try not to be overly harsh on him, because I was very harsh on him at the beginning. And then he came on strong under Jose Mourinho. And then he's had a major drop off over the past 24 months, probably longer than that, if we want to be frank. I thought he was very poor. Cristante was okay, I suppose. I thought Kone was by far head and shoulders above the rest. At the back, Sarić, you want to talk of feast or famine, that guy, he can make the highest of highs and the lowest of lows in such a short time frame. It is amazing to me this how high his ceiling can be and how low that man's floor can be, all within the same sequence, 30-second sequence of a match. It's alarming to me, but it is not as if there are many alternatives. The conclusion I came to was, you mentioned Zalewski. I suppose, at least to some extent, he could probably do better in one of those positions, but I don't think anybody's going to be clamoring for him. If Salamakers has even half of a foot available and is able to utilize the foot, he is the immediate name you put on there. And do you put Sule on the other flank? Sure, maybe. I don't know. But are you going to feel comfortable putting Sule out there when he is flanked? Or I'm sorry, when he behind him has Salik? I don't know. But I thought, as far as changes go, they were far more sound from an organization standpoint. I thought tactically, you felt far more comfortable for the majority of the match. Obviously, in the first half, Napoli missed a free header. McTominay, he also had an opportunity. Lukaku on a set piece, he had another headed opportunity as well. I think Napoli ended the match with the XG around 2, Roma around 0.6, 0.7. So not a massive disparity, but given what we have seen from them, I can't sit here and pretend like it has been anywhere near the level of disaster that we saw with Ivan Juric. I mean, you just compare this defensive, this tactical display tonight compared to Bologna, Fiorentina. It's not as if we are speaking of high expectations to begin with. However, I don't know how we can come away from tonight being...
I still think, yeah, like you're angry. No. I mean, you know, I think you played into the hands of Antonio Conte. Like Antonio Conte, sure. If he can get away with this kind of performance and with this kind of result, he'll jump at it. You know, this is his bread and butter. This is what he asks his team to do. You know, he likes to smother you over the course of the match. He loves when the opponent gets unlucky. And he thrives when his team scores on just a few occasions. That's all he needed tonight. So his team did the bare minimum, I thought, tonight. Roma, on the other hand, well, obviously coming in from a completely different perspective. And so you have two teams that, given where they stand, they did enough. Like, this is what we expected Roma to do, not to embarrass themselves, to avoid any further unnecessary headaches. It's unfortunate for Ranieri to debut with a loss, but I do think we all came to expect it tonight. It wasn't, if things were to change, I never thought they would change tonight. I must be frank, I don't think they will change in the next two games either, because it's just the task that Ranieri has at hand to turn things around for this team that is very low on confidence, low on morale, low on results. These things, first of all, take time, and they do not happen when you go up against a side like Napoli or Tottenham, who just crushed Manchester City 4-0, or Atalanta, who are also sitting on top of the table. So that's what we're dealing with. You know, we come from a certain dimension, and right now we have three straight games against teams that aspire to much higher objectives than us.
Very true. Again, how you view tonight is going to be entirely on your perspective. If you came in with a realistic expectation and balance, but again, I don't think even in the most of fairy tale scenarios, there was anybody who saw Roma coming away today with a victory. The thing that is still concerning is this inability to score goals. Some of our patrons, and I threw this out there in the middle of the match, but there is some sort of frustration, or I guess comedic relief. I don't know. At this point, you have to find some comedy when you are subjected to six defeats through 13 rounds. But we're on manager number three. And with every given match, it looks like the soul of Artem Dovbyk is leaving his body. You can see him sort of like drifting away into the next dimension. And he hits the post tonight. Beyond that, did they really have much of a very clear? I know Baldanzi, he had an opportunity. Does any other action come to mind for you? Because beyond that, Roma did not create much, which has been the case all season, and their margin for error is non-existent. If they do not hit the back of the net, they do not provide themselves additional opportunities to make up for that. So this thing with the inability to score goals, I still don't have an answer for it. I still don't have a clearer idea, and obviously nobody is going to feel good about that, because you have, and again, an attack that underwent an overhaul, new strikers, new wide players, Paulo Dybala and Pellegrini being...
Paulo Dybala, who you know, now, I think is a bigger problem than an asset. And I think a lot of people who are on the verge of jumping out the window at the prospect of him leaving the club in the summer are now maybe reconsidering that thought of cashing in for a player that right now is nowhere to be found, who is taking up space on the roster and whose mere presence on the bench is also influencing whether the coach uses Mattia Sulé or not. Mattia Sulé doesn't see the pitch tonight because Paulo Dybala, in the end, he comes off the bench. But it's not enough. If you're Dybala, this start of the season is disastrous in many ways. And I do think that Dybala being so bad this season has played a major role in also how Roma have played. Because if the guy you raved about and called him your hero and, you know, oh, I'm staying, you know, whatever, like almost like LeBron James's decision, you have to do better. You have to do more. And Dybala has not been the guy for Roma. So that's one of the issues, is that so far this season, we don't know who the guy is for this team. If Manu Kone can keep this up, if Manu Kone can show up like this every game, then he is definitely the guy. If Artem Dovbyk can get it together and understand that, yeah, he's working with a very stupid team that is still learning how to work with him, and he can work through that, then he also can be the guy. But so far, we have been without a leader on the pitch. That's the main problem, in my opinion. When I see games like this, you know, a game like this against Napoli, this is the moment where you want guys like Pellegrini, Dybala.
Yes.
Those two guys, above anyone else, they have to show up. Who doesn't show up tonight? Pellegrini, who leaves after at halftime. And Dybala, who comes in and for the final 2 minutes, a small cameo appearance, and that's about it. That's not enough. That's not good enough if you're Roma and you're trying to get out of this situation.
No, it's not enough. And that's the frustrating part. When you undergo changes like this, those are the guys you should be able to rely on without question. They are the ones who should be at your disposal, who should be performing without exception. They are the ones, when they are earning the wages that they do, I say this every single season, multiple times, your wage bill should more often than not reflect the quality and the importance of the squad. And you look from top to bottom, look at who is earning the most, Paulo Dybala, Pellegrini. You just have guys that are non-factors far too often. And it is frustrating. I also just got the alert that Pizzilli, I forgot he was on, he was one booking away from missing out or having to serve the suspension. So naturally, he's going to miss the match against Atalanta. So we spoke of Porgino. We might as well not close the stove. Keep it on, because with Gasperini coming, and that's the other thing too, where you now have to face.
Gasperini is also suspended. Suspended.
Well, are the potion? I have to be careful with the words I use sometimes. We saw what happened.
Banksboy is not there anymore.
He's not physically, at least. I have a very difficult time believing that he was not able to pass on the recipe for
the
certain things.
The spirit lives on, you're saying, yeah?
Very true.
The lessons that he's imparted are still there.
Yes, I mean, look at poor Gosens. I mean, something has to be going on. He comes back to the country. He's able to refind himself. I'm not saying he was able to get a package delivered to Firenze, but I am also not saying he was not able to do that. But that's the difficulty in this too. Not only are you facing two very strong sides with the individual quality, 6 to 7 times out of Roma, you're facing teams with well-established ways of playing, knowing their roles. So you're coming into this thing against probably, if you were to pick of all of Serie A, 2 or 3 teams that you absolutely indefinitely do not want to face in terms of organization, tactics. I mean, these are at least 2 of them. And it's difficult to see some of the light at the end of the tunnel, because again, I don't know why this one broke a lot of the patrons, but there was a lot of misery because many were looking at the calendar, which I think we knew what was in store for us prior to kickoff. So again, we have to at least somewhat tailor our expectations to the information we have at hand. The information we have, Roma suck, and the upcoming stretch of matches is going to be difficult. I looked at the Europa League table because that's what Roma have next. They have Spurs coming up. I don't know if you watched them against Manchester City, Andy. You mentioned it earlier, the score of the match. I mean, they ran riot over them, dismantled them. Tactically, it was one-sided completely. I'm not going to say that they should not be going all out in Europa League, because I don't like the word of throwing matches, or, you know, you got to be careful with some of the words we use with how we describe it. So I'm just going to leave it at that. We saw Napoli. I mean, if you watch them, Conte, you give that guy, as you said, one match per week. That is his comfort zone. He is money in the bank. So for all of the WWE fans out there, that is what he is when it comes to being able to have 5 to 6 days every single week to work with and prepare your team. It's not as if Roma give you much. It's not as if they have to go out there and try to throw. I mean, given what we've seen in the Europa League thus far, they've shown that they can do that well on their own without the intention of having to do so. But come on, drop out of the Europa League, yeah? I mean, they cannot afford to do this. I mean, let's just say, for the sake of an argument, they make a playoff. We've seen what has happened to. Have they been in the playoff in every for two of the three previous seasons? No, because the only time they didn't go to a playoff was a Conference League when they won it.
Yes,
this team does not need more matches.
This team doesn't have it in them. Like, they didn't have it in them last season. And you could argue that took a toll on them to play those extra matches, Feyenoord. You know, as exciting as it was, you consider how the campaign went and how Roma ran out of gas. Remember, just flat out, even Daniele De Rossi said it. Like, he just came out and said it out in the open. The players just ran out of gas and they're focusing on the Europa League.
That Milan match was the end. That was also the end.
Yeah, that was the culmination. Yeah. You gave everything, and that was it, both in Serie A and Europa League. You just didn't have it in you anymore. That was finito, the end. This time, even more so. I mean, this is so apparent that this team is dying to have 1 week to prepare, to rest, to, you know, regroup, rethink, because what they've been doing for the past several months is just jumping from one place to the next, from one game to the next, and never really felt like they were analyzing what went wrong. It always felt like they were stepping back on the pitch, doing the same thing wrong over and over and over again. That has to stop now. It cannot go on, because then you really risk relegation. Injuries, terrible results. I mean, that's what you risk. No,
that came out of you. You said the R word.
I did, not the one most
people think of, but
because I'm a realist, and I know that this team right now is hurting. It needs time to patch itself up, to put a Band-Aid on, to heal, because these guys really need healing. The Roma brought in a new psychologist because these guys really need him.
Like, it's for you to say that, yes.
I swear to God, like, that's how it goes. It's how it is. They need the psychologist. That just tells you that these guys are struggling. And we can see it on the pitch too. It's not just hearing rumors, reading stuff in the newspapers. It's true. The team is struggling. You can't put them in a situation where they have to struggle even more. It will not be sustainable. You will not get anywhere. You will crash out and burn.
They will crash out and burn. So we will leave it there. I don't want to add to the Europa League discussion and encouraging or saying that they should throw it, they should drop out. They are more than capable of doing that on their own without my or your encouragement. And I don't think anybody is going to be too distraught of Roma, at least temporarily, depending on how they do in the Coppa Italia. But again, Sampdoria, December, you tell me. Anything is possible at that point. I don't care if it means, or it shouldn't matter if Sampdoria are even in Serie B. It's Roma. If we look at their record in the Coppa Italia, I guess Serie B sides in recent seasons.
Oh man, can you think about what a throwback, Ranieri and Sampdoria?
No. You want to speak of just gluttons for punishment. I watched those YouTube highlights 3 days ago, just popped up on my feed. It is as if YouTube is trying to almost coax me into a depression. I mean, that watching Pazzini with that headed goal, it kills me every time. Not to mention watching Cassano celebrate, giving the assist on that first one. But anyway, this is something where I feel like it's such an awkward spot right now for Roma, because you're very, I won't say very likely, but I think they will drop out of Europa League. And now, okay, you have a full week. Let's see how the Coppa Italia goes. Certainly, you would expect them to do better because, again, the expectations right now are so low. And again, the results are so bad. You really can't do much worse than what you have done. But the problem I am having is, at least right now, Andy, what is the end game just for this season? We have to get through this season. I know it would be easier to concentrate on which manager do we get, because I would love to.
I do think that behind the scenes, Roma are already working on that.
Of course they are. Yes.
This season has been scrapped, and Roma are looking even beyond January. So, what is our end goal for this season? Our end goal for this season is to get better. Where we started in the summer. I mean, John, like, you know, there's nothing to laugh about.
Jesus, you said relegation and to get better in the same episode. Yeah, this is going to need a content warning on it. Like,
what am I supposed to say?
M&M CDs in 1998, and you would have that explicit warning.
Should I be bullshitting the listeners? I mean, you say it yourself. The patrons were devastated by tonight. Why? That's the question I want to ask, is why? Don't be, because you should have seen this coming. Why do people have so much trouble not seeing this team and their patterns? Why does everybody follow this team with such passion and such love, and yet everybody seems to be falling into the same trap all over again? We know this team has had problems this season. We know they're underperforming. We know they have made quality signings. We know that they should be better. They're not good enough. We know that more than likely, all our primary objectives for this season have faded away. It's how it goes. You get punished when you underperform. You pay when you make mistakes. Roma have made too many mistakes already in these 3 months. Why should our objective not be, realistically, be better? Because that's what Claudio Ranieri is constantly saying. He said it in his press conferences. He said it in his pre-match interviews. He said it now. His mission is to bring back a level of confidence to the team, to give this team the moral support that they need. I mean, that's something that you say when you know the team is down in the dumps. That's something that you say when you know that the team is not able to compete for the things that they set out to compete for. So let's be realists for a moment, because every time that we say that word, realist, at the end of the day, everybody's still hopeful. All the patrons were, even after the match against Genoa, I remember everybody was like, oh, call it quits, you know, call the season off. And then, mind you, they are there watching every week, thinking, fooling themselves into believing that this team will somehow do better. No, you said it yourself after match day 4. You were ready to quit on this team. Why don't you? Like, why don't you scale your expectations? Why don't you change your expectations, really? Because this is what Roma are doing to us. This is what they're giving us. They're giving us these results that, if you look at the streak that we're on, there is nothing that suggests this team can back into that fight for top 4. Nothing. So it's clear. No, it's John, but please don't.
I couldn't imagine. Is there anyone out there who can still say top 4? Maybe even Europa League at this point.
Probably not. But then you ask the patrons or people on Twitter or whatever, or in the street in Rome, and everybody's complaining. What are you complaining about? If you know that this team is on this trajectory, what are you complaining for? You know, tonight, the mission was not to get embarrassed. Did Roma get embarrassed? No. So you take that as a small, tiny, insignificant, but still a victory. An insignificant victory for a team that is trying to climb its way out of this hole that they've dug themselves in. And that's it. That's all you have to do. You just have to survive. Ranieri knows this. So to all the fans that are out there and that, you know, keep fooling themselves, but at the end of the day, they also say, oh, we love Ranieri. Well, then listen to the man, because that's what the man is saying. The man is saying this team is in a hard place. I've been called as the emergency, as the ambulance, really, as the paramedic. I'm here to revive them. That's what Ranieri said in this pretty much press conference. He said, you know, I'm here to cure the sick. And I have to see if this team is sick. If it's sick, my job is to cure it. So that's not too encouraging. So that's what I'm saying. You know, try and lower your expectations, or at least try to get them where this team deserves to have their expectations set. Because you're not going to be fighting for trophies this season, my friend. You're going to be fighting for survival. That's it.
Wow. Well, that is a very vivid way to end the episode. We'll let that one settle. We'll be back in a few days after the match against Spurs. Oh my goodness. Prepare yourselves, as Andy said in the last one. Buckle up. We will see you in a few days. Until then, ciao.
Ciao.